Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to true sports royalty. The old sports emperor, Barry Mon, has joined us here in Studio 22. Barry, welcome back to the sunny side of sports.
G'day. I had a hard time getting in the building, but they knew that royalty had arrived. So as we speak, my 40 limos are circling the VOA building here in Washington, D.C., and my hundreds of minions are outside chanting and, just the usual thing. But, Sonny Man, I'm here for another reason today. I'm here to pay tribute to a man who has given 33 and a half years of loyal, august service to English to Africa. I'm talking about the ace man, Asanafi Abeje.
Asanafi Abeje, 33 plus years of loyal service, Barry. And we're going to have a little festivity party for him a little later.
Oh, yeah, a little injera, a little what, a little shoulder dancing. Oh, the emperor's going to be landed on the line. I mean, but seriously, I can't say enough about what Asanafi has meant to English to Africa when you consider that our broadcasts have been on the air for more than 50 years, but almost two-thirds of that time, Asanafi has been a part of it all the way up through writer, producer, even chief of English to Africa. So we're all here to have fun, but to pay homage to an integral part of our great service.
Barry, we have one of your old friends on the line from Los Angeles, Namdi Hollywood Moweta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, and we say welcome to the Sports Palace, old emperor.
Hey, my man. Now, look, as we speak, and the sunny man is going to narrate now, I'm donning the cap. The cap. Muhammad Ali training camp. It's an original, and gave it to me? The man himself, Namdi Hollywood Moweta, the reigning prince of pugilistics.
Beautiful, beautiful cap, Namdi. Oh, blue and white, and it's got a Muhammad Ali training camp right on the bill.
I owe a lot to the emperor. Without him, I'm nowhere in boxing. Because of him, I was able to get into the arena. Without him, I wouldn't have been able to go into the auditorium.
And everything I've done for you, and what do I get? I get a lousy cap. I mean, come on, man. You can do better than that.
I should send you a Bugatti to pick you up.
Namdi, I know you've had 30 years of knockout boxing reporting for the Voice of America, and I know you go back a few rounds with Barry. When did you first meet the old sports emperor?
I think when he sent me to this, I will never forget when he sent me to the Olympic auditorium. We had Peter Matebula from South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Remember?
A WBC flyweight title fight against Tekim Shim from mm-hmm. Korea. And I've never covered a fight. I'm like, what am I going to do? But I went into this big arena. I was packed with Mexicans and all that. But I was able, when I came out of the fight, I was able to talk to Barry about what happened in the corner, what happened with the corner man. And I really enjoyed it. And from there on, you encouraged me to continue in the game. And that's how I got into the game and ended up having my own stable of fighters. And then bringing you here to Los Angeles for Prince Mohammed's world title fight.
That's right.
Those are golden days for me, man.
Yeah, that didn't end well, but what did I say to you in the very beginning, my man? I said, you fake it until you make it. And you might have faked it in the beginning, but you made it, I tell you. And you're the reigning prince of pugilistics. You'll always be that to me, my man.
Thanks to you, my man, and thanks to you, the emperor.
Now, Barry, I know one of those legendary fights that you love to reminisce about in your Aussie homeland down under, Azuma, the Professor Nelson. Take our VOA boxing fans back and talk about that fight.
Supposedly wonderful weather in Melbourne. Well, it was wonderful weather if you're a duck. It was pouring down rain to the extent that they had to improvise a tarp over the ring. Well, Jeff Fenwick, being Australian, but not very well liked. He was a kind of a bully boy. He had said some unkind things about Azuma, who was always the consummate gentleman. Well, I'll tell you, I think that the professor said, I'm going to take him to the classroom today. And he sliced and diced. Well, we get to about, the third or fourth round, and a slight tear appears in the tarp. Well, the tarp had a little, a crevice in it, and the water had collected. Well, suddenly, whoosh, down came this cascade of water. It's pouring down rain, but the fight was so consuming that none of us really, it didn't matter to us because we were seeing a true artist at work. And I've been going back over the records, top five in history from Africa, top 10, and every one of those loses a lot of luster when they don't include the Professor Azuma Nelson, because he was one of the greats that I've ever seen in the ring.
Namdi, your thoughts on the professor?
Sonny, I will never forget Azuma coming to the Forum in Los Angeles with 17,000 Mexicans cheering for him as he just destroyed all the Mexican stars. I mean, one after the other, for the fact that he is an African, he just kind of tunes out the crowd and suddenly brings the crowd behind him, and he ends up knocking out your idol in front of them. I mean, I just don't see any African that's been able to do that since he left the scene.
And might I say this, my friend, that I think he played a role in you continuing to want to have African boxers over in the United States with all the temptations that these young men face. It's a daunting task for a person like yourself. But seeing how Azuma handled himself in every kind of situation kind of made you appreciate that these chaps are worth trying to further their careers in this country. And I think Azuma played a great role in having you pursue that, which you've done down through the years. And the number of fighters that you have helped, Namdi, I know you're self-effacing and you're not going to take credit, but you have launched the careers of so many African fighters in this country, and you should be given credit.
Thank you, Barry, for that, because you're right. Azuma was a big inspiration. Just going into the arena and the fans knowing you're African, because, we come with the regalia and the robes and so
I wouldn't know about that.
And the fans come to you, shake your hands, say, oh, Azuma, we love Azuma. They talk about Dick Tiger. They talk about Ike Kwate. They talk about DK Poison. These were warriors that were on the stage. They even talk about Mugabe,
the Beast.
John the Beast Mugabe.
Ayub Kalule.
I mean, these were warriors that came on stage here on live television and really delivered. And what we have today is a bunch of pretenders, Sonny.
Namdi, let's talk about one of those African warriors of today, Sharif the Lion Bogere from Uganda. He's right here in Washington, and he's going to fight on a card on Saturday evening. Talk about that, Namdi. What do you think of Bogere's chances on Saturday night?
Oh, come on, Sonny. Sharif Bogere needs to step up his game. He's fighting Samuel Amoko from Ghana, who has a record of 21-9. Samuel has lost his last five fights. Come on, Sharif, if you need to fight for the world title and represent Africa, you need to step up your game. Beating Samuel Amoko from Ghana is just not it. This is what I call an easy-peasy fight on a Saturday night.
And the thing is, Namdi, that we both know that if you're going to go into the ring against what we in Australia call palookas, and you know what a palooka is, someone who's not going to test you, then you're going to go down to their level. You need to stretch. You need to take that chance as like Cornelius Boza Edwards and those guys. They were always stretching themselves to go to that next level. Sharif needs to step it up, as you said, and stretch himself and take a chance and go against someone and train for that fight, because he's never going to get anywhere fighting Palookas.
That's right, Barry. He has to step up, step up.
Namdi, let's look ahead. May 7th, Amir Khan versus Saul Canelo Alvarez in Las Vegas. One of the biggest fights of the year. How do you see that bout, Namdi?
It's a very good fight. You have a puncher against a slick boxer, you know, but the slick boxer is Amir Khan, who's moving up in weight. The big puncher is Canelo, who can end up cracking a couple of ribs or give Khan a broken jaw. But in the fight game, Emperor Barry, like, you know, we talk about styles. Styles make fights.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Khan may just come into the ring and make Canelo look stupid, because if you go back and look at Canelo and Floyd Mayweather, Canelo was unable to lay a hand on Floyd Mayweather. So, but can Khan move and run for 12 rounds? Or will know come May 7th?
Namdi, would the winner of Khan Canelo fight Triple G?
Not really, because Oscar De La Hoya, who's the promoter of Canelo, believes that he needs to keep Canelo away from Triple G. Triple G fought last Saturday right here at the Forum. And he keeps fighting bombs, you know, guys he can knock out.
Palookas,
you know. He has not really fought anybody. And then HBO gives him all this big money. And I don't know why everybody keeps saying, oh, Canelo is scared of Triple G. And I've always said it, Triple G is beatable because he hasn't fought nobody, you know.
Right.
So look for Triple G to keep waiting for Canelo, while Canelo will end up taking Manny Pacquiao.
Namdi, Barry, we'll be back for more knockout commentary. But first, let's take a short Voice of America promotional break.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of me and the old sports emperor, Barry Mon, joining me right here in Studio 22. I also got Namdi Moweta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, on the line from Los Angeles. Let's move up to the heavyweight division, Namdi and Barry. On Thursday, Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko held a news conference in Germany to promote their rematch on July 9th. We're going to hear from both fighters now. First, Tyson Fury.
Vladimir is a no-risk fighter. He doesn't want to take any risks, so he might talk a good game that he's going to come and try and fight, but I'm yet to see him do it in all of his fights. The only entertaining ones he ever had was when he lost by knockout. So that's what happens when he tries to fight. So, yeah, looking forward to him. But I just want to address what Vladimir said about the clown thing. Call me a clown, call me a circus act, call me fat, ugly, bald, even call me Sue if you want, but don't call me Vladimir Klitschko, because that's an insult.
That's an insult, Tyson Fury. Tyson holds a few of the world heavyweight belts. Vladimir Klitschko says he's going to get those belts back.
That fight is not going to be boring for 11 rounds as it was in our first time. That fight is going to be exciting from the first bell. And the end result of the fight and the name is going to be changed since I'm going to win this fight.
Vladimir Klitschko saying he's going to win the rematch. Namdi Moeta, what do you think?
How can you win a rematch when you have that ugly style of jab and grab? Are you going to change overnight? Dude has such an ugly style, you know, and that's why the division died, you know. I mean, he's going to take a chance and he'll get knocked out.
But well, Tyson talks a real good game, though, doesn't he, Namdi?
He's a good talker that sells tickets.
Well, you know, Tyson's known as the gypsy and or the traveling people in Ireland, and he might be making Klitschko think of traveling back into retirement or go to retirement. I don't know.
We got to give him credit because he takes Klitschko's mojo out of him. He gets Klitschko scared. He puts all this hosho and then Klitschko goes into the ring and looks like a zombie, you know.
Well, every dude has his day, and I think Klitschko's day is gone. He's been a worthy champion down through the years, but look, Anthony Joseph, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, say what you will, but this is the new breed of heavyweight coming up, and he's not up to it anymore.
Namdi, your Niger boy, Anthony Joshua, has announced his next opponent. Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Well, he's going to take on Dominic Brazil. Dominic Brazil is an Olympian American. He has a record of 17-0 with 15 knockouts, you know. He's a puncher. He's a little bigger than Anthony Joshua. And this fight is June 25th at the O2 Arena. And guess what? It sold out in half an hour.
What do you think of Anthony Joseph?
Joshua.
Barry, we have a heavyweight that will deliver knockouts. You don't watch a heavyweight fight, see two fat guys run around the ring for 12 rounds.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You want to see somebody get knocked out cold, you know. You want to see the referee on his knees counting and the guy just looking at the sky. That's action. Joshua brings action. The fans missed action for years, you know. We have a heavyweight going to London from the U.S., whose reputation is kind of questionable. He got out off the canvas in the third round from in his last fight and ended up breaking Amir Mansour's jaw. So he can fight a little bit, but will he stand and fight Joshua? If he stands and fights Joshua, we will see an explosive knockout and somebody will go down.
Namdi, Anthony Joshua trying to increase his marketing here in the States. I understand he's been negotiating with HBO and Showtime about any details on that end.
Sonny, can you imagine two networks fighting over this cat, you know? Showtime is throwing a lot of money at him. HBO is throwing a lot of money at him. But with HBO, you have that reach of viewers in millions. We're talking about eyeballs, you know? Showtime does not have that many numbers of people. But with HBO, you're looking at big pay-per-view numbers. He comes out of the O2 Arena in London. He goes to the brand new T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. You're talking about paydays in the range of $40-50 million.
Namdi Moeta. One more point here.
Namdi, I think I know your answer. If you had the chance to manage Anthony Joshua,
right,
Tyson Fury, or Deontay Wilder, who would you pick?
I will go with Deontay Wilder because Tyson Fury has this ugly style, will lean over you and take your mojo off you before the fight.
Right.
You don't like Joshua, huh, in terms of managing, Namdi?
Oh, that's, how can you not like Joshua? My bank manager will be smiling all the time if there's a fight, man.
So it'd be Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, and then Tyson Fury in that order.
I will go with Wilder, but Wilder's got this big fight with Povetkin in Russia, where there's a chance he may even lose his title. He may not come out of Moscow with his title. So we have to wait and see what will happen in Russia because the Russians paid $7.5 million for that fight.
Any chance of any one of these three meeting another one of the top three in your opinion? Or are they just kind of circling each other right now?
They will have to circle each other and make us wait, and then we'll demand for it, and we'll pay for it.
And more money. More money.
Right. It's all about the cash flow.
It's all about the Benjamins.
Cash flow, bro.
Nandi Moweta, Dole Sports Emperor, Barry Mon. Love
big
to
ups,
you guys.
Big ups for
thanks
LA,
for joining
man.
Me. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings. We're having a good time today. It's a fun old time in here.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Friday?
Well, the NFL draft, the National Football League, it's the American, football league here in the U.S., their draft is trending, and we have two stories that have come out of this on social media. One is Ezekiel Elliott. He's a running back, pick number 4 by the Dallas Cowboys.
Barry Mon loves that pick. Barry's
Dallas Cowboys.
He loves that pick.
But Ezekiel Elliott's getting all this attention on social media because of what he wore to the NFL draft. Now, he opened up his suit jacket, and he was wearing a shirt that had his stomach exposed. It was a crop top button-down shirt. And the reason why he wore this is that he wore crop top jerseys, kind of the old classic crop top jerseys, when he was playing at Ohio State until the NCAA banned them. So this is kind of his way of connecting back to his college playing career. And he did change into a different shirt afterwards. But as he walked the red carpet, he did have that crop top shirt on that he showed off to everybody.
Hey,
and tongue swagging on social media.
Andrew, he'll do well with the Cowboys. They like miscreants.
Yeah, well, he's getting a lot of attention already. So it's, a big media market like Dallas, he'll do just fine.
Oh, yeah.
But the other story that's trending, a more serious one, is Laremy Tunsil, who was the Ole Miss offensive tackle. He was expected to go very high in the draft. He went as number 13, which is much lower than expected.
Okay.
And that's because his Twitter account apparently got hacked, and someone put out photos and video of him where it appears he's using drugs. Now, he hasn't denied that that's him, or that he said that he hasn't said it's not him. And at the same time, his Instagram account was also hacked, allegedly, and some shots of him having a conversation back and forth with a coach at Ole Miss talking about payment, which is not allowed in the NCAA. So he fell from, one of being probably a top 5 draft pick to number 13. There's a lot of questions about how this social media got hacked, the timing of this, and also what he's storing in his social media. And it speaks to broader issues about how athletes use social media in the NCAA.
So that photo maybe spoke to his character, and they decided maybe we ought to wait a little bit on this guy.
It leaked just as these teams were making a decision, just as the draft was starting. So the timing was not coincidental, it seems. It seems like somebody leaked this, and if they hacked into his account, leaked it to coincide with him going into the draft. So it's very unfortunate for him. There'll still be some fallout for this for sure. It remains to be seen how that'll be dealt with, both in terms of the hacking and in terms of his personal character and what's being shown in these photos.
And it cost him millions of dollars, too.
And that's the thing. It's, he may have, and especially with getting potentially paid by a coach, or, these pictures on Instagram allude to the coach maybe paying for his mother's rent.
Mm.
Those kind of things can cost you, millions of dollars. It's a payoff, early on in the career. But as we've talked about on the show before, these NCAA athletes don't get paid. So a lot of times they do struggle. So he may have faced a situation where he was struggling and been forced to accept money. Who knows? But there are, like I said, a lot of questions that have yet to be answered, but I'm sure will be.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, there's a fun back and forth, the Obamas versus the British royal family over the Invictus Games. Now, the Invictus Games are the games for wounded servicemen and women that Prince Harry helped to found, and they're being held in Orlando, Florida this year. And so the Obamas sent out this Twitter video where they said, "Hey, Prince Harry, you said you wanted a challenge. Well, be careful what you wish for." They had this video then with Prince Harry and Queen Elizabeth. Harry gets a message on his cell phone. It's that video from the Obamas, and the Queen says, "Oh, gosh, really?" So it's this funny back and forth where, they do the kind of the mic drop. It's a funny, little exchange, a little competition between, the American president and first lady and the royal family, but it is for a great cause to raise awareness for this Invictus Games, as I said, for wounded and injured servicemen and women that they're going to hold. So a nice way to publicize that and get a little fake Twitter war going.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the April 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to the old sports emperor, Barry Mon, Nnamdi Hollywood Moweta in Los Angeles, Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This month marks the second anniversary of the kidnapping of more than 200 Nigerian girls from their school in Chibok by the terrorist group Boko Haram. These girls, between the ages of 16 and 18, were captured while at their boarding school. The United States again calls for the immediate release without preconditions of all hostages held by Boko Haram. Nigeria's military has succeeded in driving Boko Haram out of its strongholds, leaving it seriously weakened. Nevertheless, across northeastern Nigeria and in neighboring countries such as Cameroon and southern Niger, Boko Haram continues to wreak havoc. They relentlessly attack villages, murder countless individuals, and kidnap civilians, including women and girls, some of whom are subjected to forced labor and sex slavery through forced marriages to Boko Haram terrorists. Amnesty International reported that Boko Haram in 2015 and 2016 had abducted at least 2,000 women. According to a recently released UNICEF report, Boko Haram uses children to detonate bombs. Indeed, nearly one of every five such attacks carried out by the terrorist group last year used a child, and more than two-thirds of those were girls. The United States continues to assist the Nigerian government with intelligence and advisory support in an effort to locate and bring home all of those who have been kidnapped by Boko Haram. In the last 2 years, the United States has provided nearly $198 million in humanitarian assistance to the region to deliver conflict-affected populations with transitional assistance, counseling services, health programs, and emergency education for children displaced by violence. The United States continues to stand with the people of the Lake Chad Basin to combat the deadly scourge of Boko Haram.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
With your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
When news is happening, VOA Africa is there.
Mohammed Yusuf of VOA News, Nairobi.
Victor Beatty, VOA News, Washington.
Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Joba.
Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
VOA correspondents take you right to the center of events as they're happening. And this is where you hear it all on VOA Africa.